in Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting here today with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler, who is kind to give us a good amount of time here today. We appreciate you being on again.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to talk with you here. We get a monthly update here from the police department, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I want to start first off, we haven't really talked about this in our news too much, but kind of what the police department's response is when it comes to flooding in the city of Manhattan, and not just Manhattan, but also the whole county.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question, and staff has been spending a time every day for several weeks planning for possible flooding. And we're not making those plans in a vacuum. We're working with emergency management and the other first responders in the county. These daily meetings that are now happening, we participate in those. But from the police department side, one of the things that most people probably don't think about is we had to identify our own employees, especially police officers, that would be affected by flooding and make sure that they're aware of that, and have contingency plans for them so they can address in advance issues with their own families. So hopefully they would be available to continue working with us. So we're working with them on plans in case they have to evacuate and don't have access to their homes. Also, we have several employees that live in Pottawatomie County who, if the Blue River floods, may not be able to come down 24 to come to work that way. So we're making sure they understand the alternate routes that they would need to use, but also working on contingency plans if flooding really becomes a crisis where they can stay here on the Manhattan side and spend the night here and be available to work. Also, we have put together a plan for 13-hour shifts for all of patrol. That way we have coverage and overlap during a flood crisis. A lot of our role will have to do with maintaining barricades and blocked roadways to keep people out of harm's way. There's more, and you've probably heard a lot more from people like Pat Collins, but that's some of the planning we've been engaged in.
Now, your headquarters is right down there south of Wildcat Creek. Are you guys in a flood-prone area down there?
Yes, we are. It's my understanding during the Labor Day flooding that we did have water on our back parking lot, and we had to move some evidence that we store in an outbuilding out there, things like bicycles and cars. We had to move those to another location so they wouldn't be damaged. So that part of the agency is in a low area. It's not ideal. We're aware of it, and we have plans in place. Fortunately, right now, we don't have much in there. We've sent a lot of stuff to auction or returned it to owners, so that's the major issue right now.
Yeah, and if memory serves me right, you guys lost a couple of cars from the Wildcat flooding last year.
Again, I wasn't here. Yeah. My understanding is officers in a response and rescue mode parked their cars in an area that they thought was fine, but the water rose so quickly it just overwhelmed them, and it was unexpected. We've briefed them about making sure their vehicles are parked on higher ground so we don't run into that issue again. It may take longer for them to respond to areas that an emergency response is required, but if they come back and they don't have a car available, it's not very helpful. So they understand it after just going through this.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we read stories here in the news. There's flooding. It's not just here in Manhattan. It's all across the region right now. And the reminder is always to turn around. Don't drown. Don't go into flooded areas here. It's a safety matter for one, but if you go around a barrier or two, there's probably also you can get cited for that, I would imagine.
You could. And, you know, I saw a photograph on social media from Ottawa, where I used to live, and there's an area in town that typically floods when the Meritazine floods and there's heavy rain. And the water had flooded a road there, and after it receded, there was a photograph on social media where paved portions of the roadway had eroded away. Mm-hmm. So if somebody had driven through that high water, they would have hit a spot in the road where there was about a 5-foot hole there, and it would have swallowed their car and potentially could have injured or killed them. So it's a real eye opener. People don't think about the road not being there when they have high water like that. So please don't drive through high water.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand we have our first caller here on In Focus. So good morning. Oh, you'll have to put your headphones on. Yeah. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hi. Just a quick question. If and when evacuation starts, what is the protocol to notify you guys that somebody's evacuated the home instead of marking it, you know, to let the bad guys know that the house is empty? Is there a plan in place to know that each house is empty or which house is empty?
You know, that's a team response. It's not just the police department in going into those evacuated areas and checking homes to verify if they are occupied or not. And my understanding is there is a GPS type system that will be employed to mark each house that's been checked. Obviously, we are going to do our very best to keep people out of evacuated areas. And usually the challenge is not folks coming in to loot. It's usually trying to keep existing property owners out after the area has been evacuated. But it is a team effort involving the fire department, police department, and other staff.
So if we decide to leave early, would we notify you guys? Or, I mean, you would just come by the house and knock on the door. If nobody answers, you assume it's empty?
You know, if you evacuate your home early before an order is given, yet you can call dispatch and let them know that your house is unoccupied, and we have basically an alert system where we could enter that into the CAD system at the police department, so we're aware of it. In terms of what's going on at that moment, it's very difficult for me to give you a guarantee of exactly what will be happening. It depends on other crisis and emergencies are occurring at the same time. So I wish I had a more predictable answer for you about exactly what will happen, but that's the best I can provide at this point.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's a very good question. You know, something I hadn't really thought about here, but because when you do, you got a lot of things you're thinking about here when you're evacuating, and you know, maybe notifying somebody at the city level is maybe not the first thought that crosses your mind.
Yes. Yeah. There's, when especially if people haven't planned properly and they have to leave suddenly, it is a crisis. It's a crisis for them and for us. And a lot of things aren't done that should be done to protect valuables and irreplaceable documents. And we will do our best to work with people. But I can guarantee you that with everything going on, all of the first responders are going to be pulled into a variety of directions. And there's going to be other emergencies that shouldn't occur because folks may get themselves in a situation that they can't get themselves out of, and we have to respond to that as well.
Yeah, and that's a thing here with when you're in a crisis or an emergency situation, it just kind of taxes your whole department. As you mentioned, the longer shifts in place, and you shouldn't have to be responding to things that could have been prevented, I guess.
We will, though.
Yes, yeah.
We will respond. That's why I think emergency management and fire and police have really been doing a good job of having these daily briefings and having community meetings and trying to educate the public about what they can do to avoid those situations.
We have another caller here. Let's get them on here before we take a break. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, I'd like your opinion on this. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can.
I understand there's a map that's been put out that shows pretty much where it will flood, and you had the meeting the other day, and we had one of those back in 93, and they had evacuation routes, et cetera. My question is, it looks like this is going to happen. It's a 95% chance. I suggest people get stuff out, get where they want to be, and I'd rather move out now in the daylight and when it's not coming up around my ankles like in 1951 when it came up so fast people were trapped in buildings downtown. I'm not saying we're going to have a 51 flood, but it does not look good, and I've watched them since 51. So I think people should get out now, and I'd rather get out to dry ground and go back after it dries out if this happens. And I don't think it's if, I think it's when. I'll just listen to your comment on that. You're doing a great job, Director, a great job, And as I stated earlier, we're going to have one of the safest communities in the state, and we've already started towards that. Thank you very kindly.
Well, you set the bar kind of high there, so I'm not quite sure what to say to that other than thank you. What I can tell you from the briefings I've attended is the Army Corps of Engineers and Emergency Management have developed a plethora of models and modeling about what will happen if so much rain falls, or what will happen if it's released at a certain rate, and based on the levels of the river as they stand now, rain that may fall. And so those models, and there's over 40 of them, help us understand better what areas will be flooded or experience high water. So all of those models are in place for a reason, and hopefully we won't need to use them. But if we do, the public should get plenty of warning that it's going to happen before the flooding occurs. So, again, I think gathering those irreplaceable documents and items that you don't want to lose or have the potential of losing, doing that now as a precaution is advisable. So if a evacuation needs to occur because of high water, then you are better prepared to leave and not lose those things or your life.
All right. Let's take a break. More with Dennis Butler, RCPD Director, when we return on News Radio KMAN.